Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to start by reading just verse 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 13, where David says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Let's begin with prayer this evening. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have. Thank you for the privilege that we have of opening your word and studying it this evening. We ask now that you bless our time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It was maybe a couple weeks ago, one evening we were having French toast for supper, which is always delicious. I enjoy that. French toast or pancakes, right? Either one, they're really good for supper. And so we're getting all ready, and the French toast was all made. And Erica says to me, "Can you go to the fridge and get the maple syrup?" All right, the real maple syrup. So I'm like, "Sure, no problem." So I go to the fridge, and I'm looking, and I know that I do not look well when I'm trying to find something. I'm not good at it. And so I was like, I'm gonna find this. I'm gonna be careful in how I look. So I'm looking through the fridge. I'm looking on all the different shelves, and I didn't see it. I literally looked hard and did not see that. So I go back, and I was like, "Erica, I think we're out of maple syrup. I don't see any maple syrup." And she goes, "Top shelf right in front." I went back there. I was like, "There's no way, right? There's no way." It was. It was right there, top shelf right in front. And I went, "What am I doing with my life? Like, how am I this bad?" It was right in front. It was nothing was in front of it. It was the typical bottle that I was looking for, that I knew it was in. It was like this existential crisis for me. Like, how am I this bad at things in life? How could I not see this? But like, it would have, if we did not have maple syrup, it really would have, it would kind of would have ruined French toast night, right? Because, I mean, who wants dry French toast, you know, with nothing on it? You're just gonna like butter it and eat it like a sandwich. I don't know. Like, me overlooking that and me like just being like, "There is no maple syrup," would have had real consequences for our meal. And tonight I want to talk about something when it comes to Thanksgiving that's, I think, we often overlook. That when we give thanks for things, it's one area that I think we just tend to not think about when it comes to Thanksgiving. Now, there's a lot of, I think, areas that we may like struggle giving thanks for. Politics, right? A lot of different things that we could come up with, right, where we say, "I'm not going to go into them." But a lot of different things, we're like, that's a struggle to give thanks for. This area isn't something that I think is hard to give thanks for. I think it's just something that we often don't consider as our responsibility to give thanks for this, right? It's someone else's responsibility. But in overlooking it, we're missing a real blessing that's there. And also, I think we're missing a real lesson on what Thanksgiving truly is for us as Christians. And so the area is being thankful for the act of giving. Being thankful for the act of giving. Now, being thankful for giving as the giver, not as the receiver. Right? We understand that when you receive something, when somebody gives something to you, you're supposed to say thank you. Right? We learned that as a little child. Somebody gives you a piece of candy and you say, "Thank you for the candy," right? So we understand that part, that those who receive something are supposed to be thankful. But what about us as givers, right? Because even as givers, we have a responsibility to be thankful, even for the act of giving. And that's what I want us to see tonight. And so I want to see the context of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We just read verse 13. If we went all the way back to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, you don't have to turn there. You can stay right there in chapter 29. David's been established as the king of Israel for some time. And David looks around and he sees the tabernacle. He sees where the Ark of the Covenant is, the dwelling place of God. And he looks at his dwelling place and he says, "I have this beautiful house that I stay in." But he says, "What about God? The presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant is just in a tent." And it was in his heart to build a house for God, that God would have a beautiful dwelling place there in Jerusalem. And so he decides in 1 Chronicles 17 that that's what he wants to do. Now the Lord looks at David and says, "Okay, but I don't want you to build it. I want your son Solomon to be the one that's going to build this temple." And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, David starts to assemble all the supplies that are necessary. This was going to be a massive temple, beautifully decorated with all the gold and all the jewels. So he begins to prepare for that and assemble all the different supplies that are necessary. Then in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David gathers all the leaders of Israel, and he begins to tell them about his plan for the temple and what God has put upon his heart and how it's for him to prepare all the things for it, but it's for Solomon to build it. And then we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I want to read starting in verse 1. In the first couple of verses, 1 through 5, David shares with these leaders of Israel what he has done and how he also, not in just like gathering the supplies of the nation, but also in him personally giving of his possessions for this temple. So in verse 1, "Furthermore, David the king and said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" So David has set this example of giving, and now he stands before this congregation, and in the end of verse 5, he says, okay, who else is willing to give? He looks out at all these leaders, the heads of these families, and says, who else is going to give to build this temple? So in verse 6, "Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hands of Jehiel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." So they follow right along in David's example, and they give in abundance, like massive amounts of gold and silver and all of these things for the house of the Lord. So then as David sees all of this taking place, in verse 9, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." And David, after all this takes place, as he sees his vision begin to take shape, and he sees how the people that he's talked to have caught the enthusiasm of this, and he sees all that has come in for this, all the ways that people have given toward this, he stops and he just takes a moment to pray. And in that prayer, he thanks God for giving, for those that have given, and for himself as he has given as well. And in Acts chapter 20, Jesus is quoted as saying, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And we see that in this passage in verse 9 with the joy that's there in the people as they have given. The blessing of God that is there, the smiles that are on their faces, the praise that is in their hearts and on their lips, for giving, for them having not received, but having given. And when you read this passage and you get the sense of David's heart, and then you see the effect on the people, you understand that even in giving, they're richer than they were before. You know, they're not poorer because they gave so much to the house of God. They are more blessed because of how much they have given, and simply them giving of their personal belongings to the work of God. And in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And David thanks the Lord. And he thanks God, not as someone who has received, but someone who has given. And I all of us tonight have been giving. And this isn't a message to give. It's a message really for after we have given, what are we going to do? And we've all given in different ways. And sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's our time. And I think another maybe category we can consider as we talk about giving is just acts of service, right? In the ways that we minister and how we give of ourselves to other people, to our church family, to our family, our neighbors, in all these different ways, all the ways that we have given. And we look at that and we have a responsibility to give thanks to God for us as givers and for that act of giving. And in being so blessed in giving, we have reasons to be thankful. And that's what I want to see this evening. Three reasons to be thankful as a giver, as someone who has given. So here's the first way that we see. We need to be thankful to God because he has given us enough to give. Because he's given us enough to give. So we read through all the way to verse 13 in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David continues on in this prayer, and look what he says in verse 14. We're going to read 14 through 16. In verse 14, he says, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on this earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own." David thanked the Lord because ultimately he understood that everything they gave was really from God. Amen. That they were just passing it back to God, what he had given to them. And it's like they looked at themselves as just kind of being in the middle of this, like the middleman, where God gave to them and they simply passed it on to be used in this temple. I have a joke that I like to use that's super funny. It's any time I bring a dessert to like a function, I always claim it as my own. You know, and it's a joke because everybody knows I didn't bake this. Like if I bring brownies or a cake or whatever, and I'm like, "Yeah, here, I made this." Everybody's like, "No, you didn't. We know that. Erica made it, right?" That's I don't fool anybody with this, but I think it's like hilarious. Anyways, so when anybody talks about the dessert that I have brought that I'm claiming as my own, everybody talks about how well Erica did in baking that, and never how well I have done. And that's because Erica did the real work of providing it. Anything I did was simply like the transportation, right? If I did anything, it's for me like maybe bring it from the kitchen to the car and then from the car to wherever we're going to eat this, right? That is my sole participation in this, right? Someone else made it. I just brought it from here to there. And that's really what we are, right? We're just the middlemen in this whole process of giving. It's God has given something to us, an ability or a possession or whatever it is, a resource, and he has said, "Okay, now you go give this to someone else," and that's what we've done. We're just a middleman in all of this, and David has this understanding of everything that I have that I've given just came to me from God. I think people, when they're younger, they think they're in control of all the variables in life, and their thought is, like, I just have to work hard for everything and then I'll be rich and all of that. And then as we get older, we understand that how much is out of our control and how much is in God's hands, that we go, if I have anything, maybe I worked hard, right? And I put the time in and I did work, but it was God, right? It was God that gave me what I have. It was God that allowed me to be where I am and have the things that I have. We look at it and go, if God wanted even me putting all the work in and doing everything I did, God could have made it that I do not have the things that I have. And maybe when we're younger, we're like, it's all about me. We get older, we go, it's God. It was God in every single way. God has given me every single thing that I have. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul asks a couple questions in this verse. They're kind of rhetorical questions where they should know the answer to this, and we know the answer to these. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, he's talking about in the context of like bragging and boasting. And in verse 6, he talks about not being puffed up one against another. But he says in verse 7, he asks them, who maketh thee to differ from another? And we know the answer, God does. Second question, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do you have that was not given to you by God? The answer is nothing. Everything we have, God has given to us. And then he ends with, now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? But he brings out that point in the middle, that all the things that we have and enjoy and use and give have been given to us by God. And there's no reason for us then to boast in that. It's simply to thank God and say, Lord, thank you for giving me enough so that I was able to then give to someone else. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 17, Paul tells Timothy, he says, to charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And Paul says, Timothy, remind them, those that have a lot in this world, that don't be high-minded because God gave you all of this. But then he goes on to say in verse 18, also that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. He says, make sure they're ready to give, that God, as God has given to them, that they would be willing to continue on and to give because everything they have was given to them by God. And one of the reasons God gives things to us is just for us to pass it on so that we can get the blessing of giving. It may not be immediately. It may not be that you get it one day and you give it the next day. It could be God says you use it for a little bit and then you give it to someone else. We don't know the timing of all of that, but what we do understand in giving is that God has given this to us. And so there's such a blessing that we receive in being able to give, that when we give, God blesses us. That when we're able to give, we simply need to thank God and say, Lord, thank you for giving me enough so that I can give to someone else. So we need to be thankful that to God as we give, because he has given us enough so that we're able to give. But then secondly, the second reason is we need to be thankful to God for giving us a willing heart to give. So back in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 9, thankful that God has made us willing, given us a willing heart in giving. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if we go back to verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. It's a big theme in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 as they're talking about this, the idea of being willing to give. And we need to be thankful that God has made us givers and not hoarders, not ones who keep things. There's a species of woodpecker. It's known as the acorn woodpecker. And they're known for storing their acorns in trees. And so they'll go to a tree and they'll drill a hole with their beak in that tree. Then they find an acorn, they stick it in that hole. And so when they're around, and this is like a family effort with all these woodpeckers. So like one family will do this whole tree or whatever. And you'll see pictures of trees where it's just like acorns stuck all in this tree. And one researcher counted 50,000 in one tree. I don't know how many woodpeckers did that, but that's a lot of effort on their part. But there was this report that came out of Arizona that one family of acorn woodpeckers found themselves an old wooden water tower, like one of those old wooden ones. And they decided that was their tree and they were going to put acorns in it, except they kept dropping them on the inside. Like, they would drill a hole and push it all the way through, I guess. They filled this thing with 485 pounds of acorns that they could not retrieve. They were all stuck in the bottom of this wooden water tower. And I thought, whoever's like the dad of that woodpecker family, man, he was fired. Like, you are not picking the tree next year. We have poured so many acorns into this and we can't get them back out. But there's a lot of examples in nature of like creatures that hoard things. And mostly it's for like storing up for winter, right? Preparing for things. But I think we have a tendency too to want to like keep things to ourselves and hoard things and take what God has given to us and say, well, this is for me and just for me. And it's really obvious at the toddler stage in development, right? You see a kid that they're not playing with the toy, but as soon as one other kid wants to play with that toy, they're like, no, that's my toy. Haven't touched it in a year, but that is my toy. And you'll see them with like piles of toys that they're not playing with, but nobody else can play with. We hide it better as adults, right? We've gotten a little more subtle about that thing. But there is that whole tendency that we have to like be protective of all the things that we have and try and keep them for ourselves. And when we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David is, it's like he's blown away by how willing they are to give. And the word like willing or willingly, it's used 9 times in the book of 1 Chronicles 29 that I found, or 1 Chronicles. Twice it's used in chapter 28, it's used 7 times in chapter 29. So like when the word willing is used, it's used in context of this in this book. And when David says in verse 14, after he thanks God, he says, who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? And it's almost like David looks in the mirror and goes, who is this guy? Who is this guy that has just given so much? Like all the things we read back in verse 3, 4, and 5. It's like he looks at himself and goes, who am I that I'm giving so much for the house of God? He's like, what is this desire that I have in my heart to just pour all of my wealth into the temple? And he looks at it and goes, God has just done such a work to give me a willing heart that I'm not there like keeping all this for myself or protecting it, but God has done this work to make me so willing to give. And for us, it's God can do that in our life to make us just have a willing heart to give. And it's far better to give than it is to keep for ourselves. When God lays it on our heart, it's far better for us to just give out of that willing heart than to try and protect everything. Those that keep everything for themselves, they may have everything that they've gotten, but they don't have the blessing of giving. And they may have more than they would if they had given, but they don't have the joy of giving. And also, the one thing that they miss out is all that treasure in heaven, because all that they have is what they've gotten here. And the Bible says, lay up treasure in heaven and not on earth, because all the things on earth, they rust or moths get to them, and they're just gone. And in Luke chapter 12, in verse 20, as Jesus is telling this parable about the rich man who had all the barns, and he was like, don't have enough stuff, place to store all my stuff, so he had to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. When it comes to the end of his life, God says unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And the lesson is, why are we storing up everything here when we could use it for the Lord with a willing heart and God can reward us for that? We can store up treasure in heaven. And when we give and when we do it from a willing heart, we see how God has worked in us and we see what God has done in us. And there's thankfulness for that. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We were there this morning and I was glad Pastor didn't preach my message. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. God did a work in the hearts of the people of Macedonia to give so that they were willing to give. And as Paul talks about this, he uses the word grace a lot. He talks about it in verse 1, the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Grace being like that enabling of God, that God enabled them to give as they did, even in their deep poverty, that willingly abounded in giving. And Paul looks at that and says, wow, God, the grace of God worked in them to make them willing to give. And then he says down in verse 6, he says, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. And Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, I want you to give too. And he says, I'm asking that God would work that same grace in your life that you would also give willingly. And Paul looks at this church, this other church, and says, if you're going to give, it's only going to be because of the grace of God that allows you to give willingly. And so he says then in verse 7, the end of verse 7, as you have abounded in like every other thing, abound in this grace also. And understand that when we give from a willing heart, that's the grace of God. The grace of God that he has enabled us to give willingly. And thank God for that. Thank God that you have received the blessing of giving, the joy of giving, because God has made you willing. That God has put it in your heart to just willingly give out of love and out of a willing heart to the work of God and to others. So we need to be thankful that God has given us enough to give. Number two, thankful that God has given us a willing heart to give. But then number three, we need to be thankful to God for in giving, for making us more like him. Making us more like him. A month ago, I preached from the book of Ruth. We're going through the book of Ruth. And I preached a message from Ruth chapter 2 that was entitled Stay or Go. And it was that period of time where Ruth had found the place of blessing in the fields of Boaz, and she had gone there and gleaned, and Boaz had provided abundantly out of graciously for her. And so she returns home, and then both Boaz and Naomi had told her, don't go anywhere else, right? Stay in that place of blessing. And so the message was, stay or go, right? What should we do, and what did she do? But she had found a place of blessing, and we saw from Ruth chapter 2 that it really wasn't a place, it was a person of blessing. It was Boaz that was so gracious toward her. And we are blessed, we send the message, we're blessed because of what God has done for us, and specifically what God is doing in our hearts. And that when we say we're blessed, it's not so much the things that we have, it's what God is doing through those things. And we said that a person could have their health, but if their health isn't drawing them closer to God, then is it truly a blessing? And a person could have all the money in the world, but if that money isn't drawing them closer to God, then it's not really a blessing for them to have that. And the blessing of the things is that how God is trying to use those. That God uses those things to change us and to make us more like him. And I ended it with this challenge. And it was the challenge of finish the thought of thankfulness. Because often we'll say, I'm thankful for this, or I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my house, thankful for my family, for my wife, spouse, right, my job, all of those things. And that's great, right? It's good to be thankful for those things. But the challenge was finish the thought, right? I'm thankful for this because of how God is using this in my life to do whatever God is trying to do. Right? Because that's really what it should come down to in our life. I'm thankful for my family because God is teaching me patience through my family, right? And you know, whatever it is, that was a bad illustration. We'll scratch that from the recording. You know, but whatever, right? I'm thankful for what God has given because God is using this in my life to accomplish something. And I want to do that tonight from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We talked about how God, we're thankful that God has given us enough to give and that God is giving us a willing heart to give. But also, what it comes down to is finishing that thought, because through that, God makes us more like him. We know who God is, and we know that God is a giver. God gives to us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's who God is. He's generous and God is a giver. And we want to be like our Heavenly Father. As we grow older, we start to see how much we're becoming more and more like our parents, I feel. Like you say something, you go, that sounded just like my parents. Like I sounded just like my mom. Or we do something, you go, that was my dad. My dad always used to do that mannerism, right? Doing the same thing. And it's like we start to see ourselves like our parents in us more and more as you kind of get older. And I don't know, maybe you want that or maybe you don't. I don't know. But we want to be more like our Heavenly Father as we grow, right? And as we're going through life, that is our goal. That's also God's goal, right? He's trying to change us and manipulate us and remove things from our life, bring things into our life, and conform us to the image of God, to the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a giver. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came and he gave his life for us. And he wants us to follow that same example of giving. And he tells us over and over in Scripture to give. I'm going to read a number of verses. Matthew 5, verse 42. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And we could read other verses. But that's what God wants us to be, right? That's what he tells us to be. And as he gives us enough to give, and as he works in us a willing heart to give, God is doing something. He's changing us to be more like himself. He's changing us to look more like Jesus Christ, who is a giver. He's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. What greater thing could we ask for in giving is to be made like Jesus Christ? And we look at how what God has done, and we simply thank the Lord and say, thank you for changing me. Thank you for making me a giver. Thank you for working in my life to take away the selfishness that's normally there and the tendency that I have to want to keep things for myself. Thank you for taking that away and making me more like you. Thank you for changing me to be a giver. And when we give from that willing heart and from a heart of love and from what God has given to us, we see in ourselves Jesus Christ, the one who has given everything for us. And from that should just come this thankfulness. It says, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Now, I'll be honest. This isn't the sort of praise that I'd probably get up in front of people and say. Like Wednesday night, we're going to have our Thanksgiving service. I probably wouldn't get up there and say, I want to thank the Lord for enabling me to give so much in the offering this year. Or tell how I've given to, you know, whatever. And it would probably come across as bragging, right? As much as I might try and do it from a heart of, you know, of humility and just wanting to thank the Lord for that, it's probably would just come across as like humble bragging, right? And I think for maybe for that reason, it just gets overlooked in how we give thanks. Like if we get something, we're quick to thank God for that, but often not when we just give. But I think we're missing out then on seeing how much God has been working in us in that. And simply thanking God for that. Because whenever, however, whatever God does in our life, however he's working, he deserves praise for that. He deserves to be thanked for what he is doing in our life. There's a lot of things that I don't think we would be thankful for if it were not for God using those things in our life to change us. I think we'd really struggle to thank God for a lot of things if we couldn't see in them what God is trying to do, right? And there's a number of you that have been through a lot of health struggles, and you've probably come out the end of that and said, you know what, it was hard in the middle, but I saw what God did in that. And so from the end, I can thank God for that. A lot of things that we would struggle to be thankful for, except for God, except God has done something through that. And we look back and say, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for how you have changed me and how you have worked in my life and molded me through this. And so that's really the challenge I want to leave you with is just finish that thought, right? I'm thankful for this because God has used it in my life to do this. And so often when I come to Thanksgiving, I'll ask myself the question, what am I thankful for? Right? And you know, we got the Wednesday evening service coming up, time of Thanksgiving, and just different times, right? What am I thankful for? But I want to give you another question to ask that maybe will help us approach this from a different perspective. And the question is, instead of saying, what am I thankful for? But how about we ask, what is God doing in my life right now? What is God doing in my life? How is God working in my life? And the goal of that is to go, then I'm thankful for that, right? But starting from, what is God really trying to do in my life? And take some time this week and ask yourself that question. What is God working on in my life? We know he is, right? We know God is always doing something in our life, that the work he started, he's going to continue until the day of Jesus Christ. We know he's doing something. Sometimes we just don't see it. And maybe we should just take a moment this week and say, Lord, what are you trying to do in my life? What are you working on? What are you changing? What are you trying to do in my life? And then when we find the answer to that, do what David did. Say, now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And find something that you can be thankful for because God is using it to work in your life. And find reasons to be thankful. We can be thankful for giving because in that giving, we understand that, boy, it's the reason I can give is because God's given everything to me. And God has given me so much that I can now be blessed in giving. And we say, you know what? God has given me a willing heart. God is, I don't know who this is that is able to give like this, but God's done that. And we say, God has done such a work in my life to make me more and more like Jesus Christ. And we can just be thankful even in giving and in so many other ways because we know that God is working and God is doing something in our lives. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, all that you've given to us, even all that you've taken away in our lives. Because, Lord, we understand that you're working in us. And help us to see that this week. Lord, may you show us by your Holy Spirit and through your word how you are trying to work in our lives. Lord, so that we would simply be able to rejoice in that. So that we would be able to praise you and thank you for all that you have done. So, Lord, we pray that you would bring that to our attention. We pray that you continue to teach us this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to stand as we take our hymnals.